Senate will come to order. Messages from the House.
March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 52, Reduced Cigarette Ignition Propensity. Ayes 54, noes 4, excused 2. Senate File 56, Fuel Tax Bonds. Ayes 58, excused 2. Senate File 68, Supreme Court Peace Officer. Ayes 55, noes 3, excused 2. Senate File 69, Natural Resource Large Project Funding. Ayes 58, excused 2. March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 250, concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 29, Taxation of Specified Digital Products. Ayes 58, excused 2. March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 251, Joint Conference Committee Report adopted. Mr. President, House Bill number 26, Medical Review Panel. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, excused 2, conflict 1. March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives. Message number 252, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 22, State Active Duty Medical Expense Reimbursement. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 2. Conference requested, Mr. President, Senate File 42, School Finance Student Enrichment Instruction. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 45, noes 13, excused 2. Message number 256, concurrence requested, Mr. President, Senate File 66, Industrial Siting Amendments. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 259, concurrence requested, Mr. President. Senate File 78, Illegal Fish Stocking. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 46, noes 12, excused 2. Message number 260, concurrence requested, Mr. President. Senate File 7, Rangeland Health Assessments. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 261, concurrence requested, Mr. President. Senate File 13, Economic Analysis. Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 48, noes 10, excused 2. Message number 263, concurrence requested, Mr. President. Senate File 31, Federal Natural Resource Policy Account. Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 54, noes 3, excused 3. Message number 264, concurrence requested, Mr. President. Senate File 39, Post-Secondary Education Options Program. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 41, no 16, excused 3. Message number 265, concurrence requested, Mr. President. Senate File 40, Establishment of Highways. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 32, noes 25, excused 3. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benson, House Chief Clerk.
Joint Conference Committee reports. Senator Nicholas, are you ready on the Joint Conference Committee report?
Yes.
Reading clerk, please read in the Conference Committee report.
Joint Conference Committee report, House Bill 26, Medical Review Panel, reference Senate message number 178. Signing for the House, Representative Brown, Chairman, Representative Bonner and Miller. Signing for the Senate, Senator Scott, Chairman, Senators Hastert and Honeycutt.
I was on the wrong one.
Excuse us here, we have a slight mix-up.
I was prepared to wing it, but...
reading clerk will please read the Joint Conference Committee report on the budget.
There we go. I could have done it either way.
I guess I just read that. Okay. Joint Conference Committee report, House Bill 1, General Government Appropriations, dispensing with the reading.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. As soon as you said the word Brown, I knew we were going to kill it anyway. So. Mr. President, I move the adoption of the Joint Conference Committee report for House Bill 1 and ask you to vote aye. For an explanation, what you have in front of you are a couple things. You have, together with those, is the cheat sheet and the actual conference committee report. We'll go over both of those. In addition, you have the another handout that came out with the colored information, and it's just an Excel spreadsheet that we maintained. And I thought I'd start with that because it kind of shows you where we began and where we ended up. So this is the spreadsheet that came out and attached. I think everybody's got it. So it would have been, there you go. So the spreadsheet, and attached to it is the actual final distributions of cities, towns, and counties. So if you want to see how the final position in and how it affected your county and cities, you can look at that. If you look at the Excel spreadsheet that has the red and blue, what we did to begin on the Senate side is we added up all of the additions that were proposed by the original House and Senate positions. And then you could see in the blue we put in the negatives. And what we simply did then is if you look at the net of all the House amendments was $63 million. The Senate net was a reduction of $6.9 million. If you take half of the House and half of the Senate position, you netted them out to about $28 million of additional spending. So what we did then is you could see how we marched through the amendments or the offers. The House came in with their first offer saying we'll go from $63 million to $61 million. And we came back and said, look, what we'll do is we'll split this in half with you, and you get to decide how it's going to be allocated. So you could see our first counteroffer that's in the middle where we said you could spend up to $30 million. You decide how to allocate it. And we wanted to maintain some of our provisions, so we ended up with a net at the bottom of $31 million. The House came back at for their next offer at $60 million. We explained, no, you don't. What is it about one half that you don't get? And ultimately, the House came back with the $30 million counteroffer. They just reallocated some of the dollars. So as you can see, the final proposal was DD funding $1.5 million, epilepsy $27,500. Judge Tyler's law clerk is funded in this compromise. There was $15,000 funded for the a blind summer camp, because there's insufficient funding from the Montgomery School of the Blind. The final school cap con amendment is $21.9 million of additional new money, and we adopted the Senate language with the Senate flex and provision for the Bighorn school. Locals got an extra $6.5 million, dropping down to the Senate equation. We did adopt the deletion of the retirement language in the bill that generated $12 million. The Rex Warehouse is funded out of the budget reserve account at $12.9 million. And we did hold the $200,000 for the sex offender treatment program, with it resulting in the net. So our net was about $31 million. You can argue that we're a little bit above half, because half would have been $28 million, but as you can see, our first counteroffer was about $30 million. So we held pretty close to one half of the positions. So that gives you a feel for how we tried to calculate what was the midpoint between the two houses and how we adhered to the midpoint on spending. All right, that takes us to the next item is the cheat sheet, which is the 8.5 by 14-inch paper. Every amendment has to be addressed in throughout the budget. So the way you read these document is that the first page addresses identical amendments. And oftentimes it doesn't make any difference which identical amendments you did utilize. But in this instance, in most instances, the Senate language was more clear by, at least to, that was the representation made by staff. So we adopted the Senate amendments, the identicals. And so when you see on the left hand that code AS means adopted Senate, where you see a D about midway, the D means deleted. So deleted means that you failed to adopt, or you actually deleted that amendment. On the identical amendments, the two deletions of the House identicals were made because as the staff went through and made clarifications to the budget, we determined that it would be better to put them in other places of the budget. But so if you go through the first page, you should recognize most of those amendments as ones that were on the Senate and were adopted as identical amendments. I won't go through that list because I think you should remember those. I mean, if you go, you look at the spending, you can look at the description on the right hand, and I think that you could probably read it as well as I can describe it to you. Let's turn to page 2. Now we're dealing with the non-identical amendments. There are really three different amendments that you can make in this conference. One is to adopt an amendment, one is to delete amendment, and one is to further amend. So when you see is AH, that's adopted the House language, D would be delete, AS would be adopted the Senate, and when you see the word FA, that means that's a provision where we deleted and further amended with new language. So begin with the first one. On the we adopted the House language, which simply made clerical changes. The next box on that page talks about the mental health and substance abuse funding that for the telehealth program. we adopted the Senate position, which took the $685,000 out of the governor's special contingency account. The next item is $10,000 for the publication of the Wyoming Constitution. That was a House position. That was adopted. On the retirement system payroll, that was the deletion of the retirement amount. We adopted the Senate position. And you recall that's what deleted the funding that was originally put in the bill to fund the retirement system deficit, but it's been picked up in Senate File 72. The next item is the Hathaway Longitudinal Study. It is deleted because we put it somewhere else, but in the end, the longitudinal study is in the budget, but the House language was deleted. The next box talks about the CIO language, providing that the CIO would continue implementation of the Transparency in Government website. That's one where we deleted both of the provisions, but we further amended with new language that did not require any additional funding. The next item is the Victim Services Division. Both of the House language were deleted. We do have the original JAC language in the budget, which prohibits the use of the algorithms to count for double counting, but says do the best you can and report to us. Try to avoid duplication. The next item is the Senate amendment, which is the Scott amendment with respect to the back and spine injuries. We did adopt that. That is part of the budget. The next item is the next box is the transportation. You recall there was a series of amendments in the House, first trying to put the department, the YDOT side of the budget, change their fiscal year. Then they backed off and put it back in the federal year. What we ended up doing is adopting the House position that requires YDOT to provide and report their entire budget to the Joint Transportation Committee, but does make clear that they remain on a fiscal year. That takes us to page 3 of the cheat sheets. The first item is the additional funding for the DD program. You recall that the DD program was hit by a 10% cut. They argued that there shouldn't be a cut because of a variety of things, including a flawed navigant study. The JAC recommended additional $4.1 million. That would have been 5% or one-half of the 10% cut. The House added in another 5%. The compromise position was an additional $1.5 million of funding. So, in total additional funding, you would add the 4.1 that's already in the budget plus the 1.5, and that would be the new funding. So it's not quite 10% restoration, but it's more than the 5%. Down below, the House had a provision to for the epilepsy amendment that actually came by through this House, too. The total funding now available under the compromise for that program is $27.5. Next item is the Father Factor program. The House had an amendment that required federal funds that would go to the TANF program that are designated for these types of fundings, that $274,000 of those funds be used and applied to the Father Factor program. We adopted that. There was no impact on our budget. The next item is the House provision that changed the definition of strays to make sure that it included animals impounded by the board. We adopted that. The next item you see is the $200,000 Senate amendment that reestablished sex offender treatment plan. The next item is $149,000 for an additional judicial assistant, or actually a law clerk for Judge Tyler in Pinedale. He had not asked for that position in the markup process, but between the time of he submitted his budget and the time that we came here, he had asked for an additional law clerk. He provided information defending it. In the end, the House insisted that be one of their items, and they were given that additional clerk. Below that is the $15,000 for qualifying school districts to finance the summer months EduCamp for school-aged children who are blind. Then you'd go down to the next box under capital construction. we adopted the Senate position funding the Rex Liquor House out of the budget reserve account at $12.9 million, a little bit above that. There is no repayment requirement in the final bill. Below that, the next item on the bottom of the page is the it's just the CIO language, adopting the Senate language, and we found a couple technical corrections with respect to CIO language that is adopted. On page 4, at the top box, you'll see the we deleted all of the provisions of the House and the Senate with respect to dynamic compaction, and further amended by using the most recent language for dynamic compaction that was adopted or made of it was adopted by the House, but there were parts of the House amendment we didn't adopt. But the language that the Attorney General and the and our staff liked the best was the came out of the most recent House amendment, and that was what was adopted. Below that is the AML funding on the CO2 sequestration research. There's a provision requiring that there's a report to the Ag Committee describing what was happening with respect to any produced water. Also, with respect to the CO2 sequestration project, the House had put an amendment to make it clear that any property that is disposed of from that project be treated as state-owned project, and if it's sold, the proceeds go back to general fund. Both of those additions were adopted. Below that is the school capital construction account. Again, we came up with a total additional funding of $21.9 million. And the JAC, the Senate language was adopted. We adopted the provision for the Bighorn. What this, in effect, does is fund two more schools. It's about $1 million short, but there should be reversions or what they would call rollovers that are available to complete that second school. On the, with respect to the last box on the bottom, we deleted all of the recalibration language and composed new recalibration language. And I'll show you where in a moment where to find that, but it was language that was really knocked out with the aid of Senator Massey and Representative Hammonds, and then went through. Everybody ultimately signed off on it. Turning over to page 5 of the cheat sheet. At the top of the page, the local governments, you can see that a total of $6.5 million was added to the the equation, so that the total to cities and towns and counties is in the you see the attachment to that spreadsheet is $87,456,650, and if you go to that spreadsheet that was handed out, you'll see the distributions. Below that, on the select committee on the DD programs, we did adopt the House provision requiring that they obtain budgets and financial statements from the residential treatment providers as part of their task. On the Wildlife Trust contingency account, you recall the Senate put a provision in there to extend the match date for those matching dollars that we had previously appropriated in prior years to June 30th, 2012. That was adopted. The next item is the the next two items are the amendments that are put in by the Senate with respect to out-of-state travel and publications, restrictions, state agency contract services. We adopted a variation of what the Senate had adopted here. The principal differences I'll take to show you on the text language in a second, but in what we effectively did is said, with regard to both of them, is that instead of making reports on the fifth day of each month, they just give us reports monthly. That aided them because right now on the fifth of the month they're already delivering ARA reports. That's pretty time-consuming. It didn't make sense to require them to do more work. Then with respect to both of them, instead of requiring that they provide exception requests, so that the JAC would have to have hearings on every agency, we asked them to provide a report, and then JAC will determine how they're going to approve or those reports next year. It may not be an exception process. It may not require exception hearings, but it's a little bit less onerous. We also, in those language, put provision that the governor could modify the requirements to the extent that it was not delivering meaningful information or was too burdensome, so we have a safety valve to make sure that we didn't generate too much work. The first report that we had was about an inch and a half just on the 900 series, and we wanted to make sure that we were getting information that's meaningful and appropriate. The last item is the House had recommended that we go out and do an independent audit of the School Facilities Commission. Given that there will be a transition in the way the director now has to respond to the governor, we agreed that an audit be appropriate, but instead of doing an independent audit, we threw it back to the Department of Audit, gave them $70,000 to complete the audit. The last item I would take you is the actual conference committee report. It has the list of the adopted House amendments, the adopted Senate amendments, and the deleted House amendments. So in the House, it's a pretty long list because we also deleted their identical amendments. And then you have adoption of the final Senate amendments. Most of the things in these sheets we've covered, but I would just point out some things. On page 4 at the bottom, that is the language with respect to the study that we want from the CIO to begin looking at the consolidation of IT and information technology staff. That was a Senate position. Over on page 5, it's the only amendment on the bottom of the page, that is the final language with the dynamic compaction for those folks in Sweetwater County that would like to see that language. Beginning at page 6, you see the final spreadsheets for the school capital construction. On page 8, I would just show you that there's $133 million for projects, and you can see there's $134 million required of those projects, but we believe there will be rollover funds sufficient to meet that obligation. And the language that is adopted by the Senate provides for that flex. On page 9 at C, Romanet 1 and 2, you see the flex language where higher priority projects can be picked up. There is flex there. So, for example, if you had an earthquake at one of the schools that needed immediate attention at a new, brand new school, the Facilities Commission could reprioritize that project, which would move it up into the list. Then moving over to the page 14 is where you begin to see the new recalibration language. So for the folks that the Education Committee particularly, you'll see the new recalibration language beginning at the top of page 14, carries over to page 15. At page 15, you'll see at mid-page the new section dealing with the out-of-state travel and publication provisions. Paragraph B, if you remember the old language, that's where it said that you'll resubmit an exception request for all your dollars, and you'll see that we changed that to agencies shall submit a report to the ANI by December 1. But we still have to reappropriate those monies to them, and we'll figure out how best to do that. If you look over on bottom of page 16, for that you'll see the safety valve where we say the governor may execute provide it through executive order an exemption if the information is neither meaningful or if it's unduly burdensome. Page 17 is where you see the post-audit accounting requirements. At the bottom of the page is the contractual services amendment, just like the prior one. And you see the governor's safety valve over at the bottom of page 18. Mr. President, that takes you through all of the report, and I'd be happy to answer questions.
Questions? Senator Bevout.
Thank you, Mr. President. One quick question on the transportation issue. The Senate had an amendment in there to look at, I think we were going to do it 10%, but then we went to the year before. Did you mention that and I missed it?
Mr. President, that was deleted. It was not adopted. If you look at the spreadsheet, you'll see that there were two amendments. On the House side, the House had adopted a provision that you'll recall that we debated, and that is to require a minimum deductible on the group health insurance of $500. That would have resulted in a savings to the state of $2.9 million. On the Senate side, and that's why it's highlighted in the blue there, on the Senate side, there was a transportation amendment that Senator from Fremont County just described. It would have resulted in what appeared to be a $7.9 million savings by going back to the prior year. The conference committee did not adopt either one, but when we did our calculations with respect to where we need in the midpoint, we did calculate that in and considered and understood that we needed to find savings. Now, you can argue that the savings that we had were one-time versus ongoing. The other side of it is the school recalibration committee will, I'm certain, take a look at that transportation. Part of the concern of the committee in the House was, once again, with respect to the transportation amendment, is do we know what the impact is going to be on those districts that have, and if you freeze them to their last years, if they bought buses that year, they're winners because they get frozen at a high level. If they were going to buy a bus this year, then they may have been frozen at a level that they couldn't go in and acquire the bus. Regardless of what the rationale was, there was a concern over it. It was not adopted, and we balanced those amendments through other adoptions and deletions.
Senator Cove.
Just a question on school CapCon. You said that you came in and funded Bighorn, picked up two additional schools. If I read the chart right, isn't that Westside Elementary in Powell and one other school, I think, up in Sheridan?
Correct. That's correct, and those are the top two of the list. We also adopted the Senate language, which provides flex. If there are rollovers, they just go to the bottom list and work back up. But with respect to the Sheridan Amendment, you recall that it uses their excess dollars that were already allocated, encumbered to them, and then picks up some rollover dollars to finish out the project.
Further discussion on the report? The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report, reference to House Bill 1, and been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson? Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel? Geis, Hastert, Honeycutt, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Larson, Martin, Massey, Meyer, Meyer-S, Nicholas, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Schiffer, Scott, Sessions, Townsend,
aye.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report, reference to House Bill 1. Senator Nicholas.
I apologize. As I went through that list, we did adopt a provision that allows the governor and directs him to work with the Children's Hospital in Denver to sort out that issue. There's no additional funding appropriated, but gives him the authority to go into the Department of Health's budget to sort out a resolution of that issue.
Senator Scott, are you ready with message number 178, Medical Review Panel?
Yes, Mr. President.
Okay. Reading clerk, please read in the message.
Joint Conference Committee Report, House Bill 26, Medical Review Panel, reference Senate message number 178. Signing for the House, Representative Brown, Chairman. Representatives Bonner and Millen signing for the Senate, Senator Scott, Chairman, Senators Hastert and Honeycutt.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move that we adopt the Joint Conference Report. It's on the Medical Review Panel, the Joint Interim Committee Bill. What happened was amendment was put on the original bill over in the House, and in the Senate we deleted that amendment. Amendment had the bill itself had to do with making clear that the results of the medical review panel were not admissible in further legal proceedings. If somebody carries this on and files a lawsuit and takes it to court, the House amendment had said that you could use the testimony and materials in the review panel to impeach a witness in a trial. We'd taken that out, and when the Joint Conference Committee, the House conferees, proposed adding some language that weakened their amendment a bit, said that the material had to be something that was incorporated into the decision of the panel. The Senate thought that was a reasonable compromise, and that's what we bring you. So you can use material that has been incorporated into the decision of the panel, was the language that their legal expert that was chair of their committee brought us, and we said fine. So it's a compromise, and I would urge the Senate to adopt it. I did talk with the Assistant Attorney General, Mr. Easton, who is the one that is the Executive Secretary for this panel and actually brought us the suggestion in the first place, and he thought that the House provision was innocuous and wouldn't make any difference in how often the panel was used. So with that, Mr. President, let's adopt the Joint Conference Report.
Discussion. The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Report on message number 178, reference to House Bill 26, and you've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel? Geis, Hastert,
aye.
Honeycutt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Meyer-S,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
no.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions, Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Bonslatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
By your vote, you have adopted the Joint Conference Report on Message 178, reference to House Bill 26. Vice President Ross, would you take the chair, please?
Okay. Concurrences. Senator Peterson, are you ready on concurrence request message number 225?
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Vice President, excuse me.
The reading clerk will read the conference report.
March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 225, concurrence requested, Mr. President. Senate file 1525, title 25 revision. Senate file listed above passed on third reading, amended form as followed by the vote indicated. Ayes 55, noes 1, excuse 4. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Tricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Peterson.
Mr. Vice President, I would move message number 225 and ask the body to vote aye. Mr. Vice President, fellow senators, this was the Title 25 revisions bill that we sent over from our good hands over to the other house, and they added, I guess the thing that I'm not really developing any heartburn over is the one thing they added was under definitions. This is on page 2, line 6, where they reinsert the definition that our labor committee had removed, and it's basically stating the mental illness and mentally ill. The definition means a physical, emotional, mental, or behavioral disorder which causes a person to be dangerous to himself or others and which requires treatment. But do not include addiction to drugs or alcohol, drug or alcohol intoxication, or developmental disabilities, except when one or more of those conditions co-occurs as a secondary diagnosis with a mental illness. And everything else besides that, Mr. Vice President, was conforming language, and again, that definition I don't really think changes the bill that much under the definitions paragraph, and so I'd urge the body to vote aye.
Discussion? The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 15, Title 25 revisions. You've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer-S?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Sessions,
aye. Townsend,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 27 ayes, 3 noes.
By your vote, you have concurred with Senate File 15. Mr. President, are you ready on message number 231?
I am.
Reading clerk will read the message.
March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 231, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 36, Gillette Madison Water Project. Pass the House, ayes 47, noes 9, noes 4, excuse. The House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
President Hines.
Mr. Vice President, I move that the Senate do adopt the concurrence request, and I'll ask you to vote no, reluctantly. What the House did on their amendment, which basically doesn't change the dollar amounts or how the project would work, but they had changed the distribution that is in statute on severance taxes, and they done this by an amendment on a bill, and that would change the statutes, which is very uncommon for the way we have done this any time in the past. They also set up a repayment schedule. And in visiting with them and studying the repayment schedule, which we agreed that it would be repaid in the future, but by following their amendment, it would probably pay double back of what we was expecting to pay back to the Water Account 3. So I believe we need to work with the House on a committee and get this straightened out, and so I ask you to vote no on the report.
Discussion? The motion is that the Senate do concur on concurrence request message 231 to Senate file 36, and you've been asked to vote no. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Meyer-S?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines? Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 30 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to concur with message number 231, concurrence request to Senate file 36. Senator Bebout, are you ready on message number 238?
Yes, Mr. Vice President.
Reading clerk will read the message.
March 2nd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 238, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 74, Subdivisions Parcels. Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 56, excused 4. The House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I move message number 238, concurrence requested for Senate File 74, Subdivision Parcels. Members of the Senate, this dealt with the issue of the parcels, and if, in fact, a contiguous parcel had been purchased by one owner, that they would, in fact, have to continue to treat them as of one. They would treat it as one instead of separate if they wanted to sell it later. There was some discussion about whether we should put that in the part of the statutes dealing with the definition or with the exemptions. Senate File 74 did it in the definitions. There was another bill that the House was working on that put it in the exemption section. Mr. Vice President, what the House did was amend that bill into Senate File 74 so that, in fact, we do now have the correct language in both the exemption section of the law and the definition section of the law. I think that it's clean and make sure that we've covered it both places, and I would ask that you do concur.
Discussion. Motion is that the Senate do concur on message number 238, concurrence request to Senate File 74, and you've been asked to vote aye. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt? Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Meyer-S,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have concurred with message number 238, concurrence request to Senate File 74. Senator Geis, are you ready on message number 260? Reading clerk will please read the message.
March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 260, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 7, Rangeland Health Assessment. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 2. The House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Geis.
Mr. Vice President, I move message 260 pertaining to Senate File 7, Rangeland Health Assessments, and I ask you to vote aye. On page 3, line 21, after range, they inserted a paragraph under that. Page 3, line 23, after that, they deleted the balance of the line, and on page 3, line 24, they deleted that. Page 7, line 1, delete entire, and then inserted the 300,000. Then we go down to page 1, line 5, after appropriation, they inserted requiring a report. And on page 7, line 20, they inserted section 4, no later than January 1st, 2012, the Department of Agriculture shall report to the Joint Ag, Public Land and Water Resource Interim Committee and the Joint Appropriations Interim Committee regarding all amounts expenditures to implement this act, as well as the Department of progress and in making this thing work. On page 7, line 22, they deleted 4 and inserted 5. And that's what the bill's all about. So I'd ask you to vote aye.
Further discussion? Senator Nicholas.
Ask you to vote no. I mean, we're seeing, frankly, that the House Ag Committee is routinely doubling and tripling their appropriations. And in this instance, the Senate came up with the appropriate amount of funding for that paragraph. It was $100,000. That was the recommendation of the Senate after it had been reviewed by the Appropriations Committee. That was amount was tripled in the House Ag Committee, and I'd urge you to reject the compromise and or the House position and send it to conference.
Discussion. Further discussion. Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, I too rise to urge to ask you to vote no. In addition to their big spending ways, they deleted an amendment that would give the study, the possibility of studying the exposures around the state that would give us some very good data on what the effect of absence of grazing was, I think, being very important information in our arsenal as we dispute with the feds and other people. And that did give them flexibility, but they just took that out. So for both those reasons, I would urge you to vote no.
Further discussion? The motion is that the Senate do concur with message numbers 260 to Senate File 7. You have been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings? Larson?
No.
Martin?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Meyer-S?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Yes.
Bonflatern?
No.
President Hines? Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 9 ayes, 21 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 7, concurrence request, rangeland health assessments. Senator Geis, are you ready on message number 261?
Mr. Vice President.
The reading clerk will please read the message.
March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 261, concurrence requested. Mr. President, file 13, economic analysis. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by stated. Ayes 48, noes 10, excuse 2. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benson.
Mr. Vice President, I move message 261 be in the original Senate File 13, Economic Analysis. On page 3, line 19, after appropriations, delete the balance of the lien cert, $378,000. And then on page 3, line 20, delete $312,000. Then we go down to page 2, line 23, after insert economic data collected, compiled, analyzed, maintained, update, reporting, or consolidated by the economic analysis under subsection other than information that is not available for inspection under Wyoming Statute 16.1-205 shall be available for public review and comment. Then down there they put another amendment in on page 1, line 3, after economics, insert social economics. And then on page 2, line 5 through 11, delete entirely. And little 7, Roman numeral 7, establish uniform criteria for collecting, compiling, analysis, reporting, and distributing data for all Wyoming counties, the state and federal. Federal service minerals, including but not limited to development of agricultural, grazing, mineral, timber, water, industrial resources, and recreation and energy products. And then on page 2, line 19, and page 2, 22, they deleted economics and inserted social economics. And then on page 3, line 5, they deleted economics and inserted social economics. Then they went down on page 4, line 5, section 3. No later than January 1, 2012, the Department of Administration of Information shall report to the Joint Ag, Public Land, Water Resource, Interim Committee, and Joint Appropriation Committees regarding all amounts expended to implement this act as well as the Department's progress in implementing the act. On page 4, line 7, they deleted 3 and inserted 4. And I'd ask you to vote aye.
Discussion. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. And just to ensure that the body's clear on a couple of things, when it left here, the appropriation was $312,000. Originally, the Economic Analysis Division had wanted $378,000. You may recall that I cut that to $312,000 because I felt that they didn't need that money for the model that they were looking at and the money to maintain it. And what happened in the House, they had an opportunity to further discuss this with the division and came back with the increased amount from $312,000 to $378,000. You also need to know, members of the Senate, that the amendment they did on page 2, line 23, deals with the Public Records Act. And the key in that is about the third line that said it's not available for inspection under that Wyoming Statute 16.4201 through 16.4205. That is a Public Records Act and the information there, and we didn't want to have any conflicting, or if the House didn't. The other thing they did really was just add socioeconomic to the word economic. And I looked up the word to be sure I was clear when I would explain that to this body. Socioeconomic means economics that affected you socially. Surprise, surprise. So the House thought that was pretty important. And the reports, they felt again that we should be reporting on this. I too would ask the body to concur. The only heartburn might be in the going from 312 to 378, but if you really look at what they're trying to do, maybe they need that extra money.
Further discussion? Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I do have a heartbeat or heartache with the money, but it's not enough to send it to conference. But I am worried about this issue, the socioeconomic. You know, we heard from the ANI's Economic Analysis Division that they were having a heartburn with whether or not they could meet the obligations of this bill at all. They really didn't feel like it belonged to them, and so you're sending, you're tasking them to go out and collect information. And I guess as to the Senator from Fremont County, this is something you've been involved in. Is there any empirical way to generate socioeconomic information? And what are you asking these people that are really, I think you're looking for scientists over there that are trying to generate economic data, and do you want them to give you a sociology analysis of that data, or what are you asking them to do? And if, frankly, it's beyond these economic models that you've proposed, it seems to me you're tasking them with something that is not what you asked them to do, and I'm not even sure if they can generate it from these models.
Further discussion? Senator Burns.
I guess I'm against concurrence simply because the money, everything that's on page 2 on down on line 17 and down, collect, compile, analyze, maintain, update, report, distribute, consolidate, digest, and do all this stuff. If you're talking about an economic model and then also a socioeconomic model, that's at least twice the work, possibly complicated by society and so forth. So I would think that if you're adding that, you should at least double the money, because you're probably going to have to double the manpower, not just in the amount of work, but also as far as the diversity of specialties needed.
Further discussion, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. I mean, Mr. Vice President, when I look at socioeconomics is the study of the relationships between economic activity and social life. The field is often considered multidisciplinary, using theories and methods for sociology, economics, history, psychology, and others. It looks to me like you're tasking them with something that I don't know who they get or what they're trying to deliver. And unless you're certain what you're asking them for, you're tasking them for something that's really improbable that they're going to deliver to you.
Senator Bebout.
Vice President, I wish when I got on my computer I could have found that definition. Maybe we ought to go talk to him. This had quite a bit of discussion, and I wasn't there to hear it, so it's a pleasure of this body as usual, and maybe we ought to go ask him, because there's another bill coming up that says the same thing about socioeconomic as well. And it does expand what we're trying to ask the division to do, and realistically, and I can't tell you because I've never participated in this, so I really don't have the answer to that. I do know that when we do the NEPA reviews, they have socioeconomic as part of it, and it comes up in the economic analysis, but there again, I can't give you any firsthand information because I have not participated in it.
Senator Elliott.
I agree with the comments just made by the senator from Fremont County. I do recall, and I was frantically looking for it on my desk, that the chairman of the House committee asked ANI to send over some answers, including some more estimates on what the REMI model could do. And I remember receiving that, but I did not attend it, as my colleague from Fremont County indicated. So I think maybe it is best to send it back, see what kind of answers they received, and make sure that we're looking at the same thing we were starting with, because we were talking about economic analysis and not something broader than that to begin with. So I agree with the other big senator from Fremont County.
Further discussion. The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 13 economic analysis. You have been asked to vote aye, kindly. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon? Larson?
No.
Martin?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Meyer-S?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
What was that, Peterson? Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions? Townsend?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines? Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 1 aye, 29 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 13 economic analysis. Senator Bebout, are you ready on message number 263?
I am, Mr. Vice President.
Reading clerk will please read the message.
March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 263, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 31, Federal Natural Resources Policy Account. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 54, noes 3, excused 3. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I move adoption of message number 263, concurrence requested for Senate File 31, Federal Natural Resources Policy Account. I ask the members of the Senate to vote no. Once again, Mr. Vice President, this gets into a definition, and we include the word socioeconomic. I think we need to have further discussion with the House about this. This particular bill deals with the FINERPA account and some extra language in there that talks about broadening the scope of what they're intended to do and gives some priority to the Attorney General's office about being involved with counties. I think that we need to talk about this. They did put in an amendment that included the state or federal natural resource policy account, which really was a bad amendment. And then the person that brought that amendment down on the other end of the hall saw the errors of his ways and did delay or take it out. We still need to talk to him about socioeconomic. I would ask you to vote no.
Further discussion. The motion is that the Senate do concur on message number 263 to Senate File 31, Federal Natural Resources Policy Account, and you've been asked to vote no. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Meyeress?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Bonplatern?
No.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 30 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 31. Senator Coe, are you ready on message number 264? Reading clerk will please read the message.
March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives. Message number 264, concurrence requested. Mr. President. Senate File 39, Post-Secondary Education Options Program. Senate file listed above, passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 41, noes 16, excused 3. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Mr. Vice President.
Senator Coe.
I move the Senate do concur on message number 264, being original Senate File 39, Post-Secondary Education Options Program, and asked the body to vote no. What they really did, they went in, and as a good tall senator from Casper talks about, they didn't do surgery on this. They shot it and field-dressed it. If you look on the concurrence request, they go into Section 1, which has to do with the agreement between districts and post-secondary education institutions, remembering that we're talking about dual and concurrent enrollment. They go in to Section 1 and delete lines 11 through 18 on page 2. Page 3, lines 4 through 23, they delete that entirely. And page 4, lines 8 through 10, they delete. This is the meat of the bill. It's the meat of what we talked about. We need to go down the hall and talk with them. I'd ask that you vote no.
Discussion. The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 39, and you've been asked to vote no. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Larson? Martin?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Meyer-S?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Larson?
Excused.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 2 ayes, 27 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 39. Senator Burns, are you ready on message number 259?
Yes, Mr. President, Vice President, I am.
The reading clerk will please read the message.
March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 259, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 78, illegal fish stocking. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 46, noes 12, excuse 2. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Vice President, I move concurrence on message 259, Senate File 78, illegal fish stocking, and ask the body to vote aye. Mr. Vice President, all the House did was basically add a security blanket to the bill and stated what was pretty much tacitly understood already. They, on page one, at the end of the page, they add, the escape of lawfully stocked fish or fish eggs does not constitute a violation of this section. It was already implied in the law. They just stated it outright. The rest of the amendment is just conforming to both the grammar and the B's and C's and so forth.
Discussion? The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 78. You've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel? Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson excused. Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer-S?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions? Townsend?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 78, illegal fish stocking. Senator Perkins, are you ready on message number 256?
Yes, I am, Mr. Vice President.
The reading clerk will please read in the message.
March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 256, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 66, Industrial Siting Amendments. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 2. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I move concurrence on message 256, the Senate file 66, Industrial Siting Amendment, and urge the body to vote aye. Mr. President, what this was is the Industrial Siting Act wind legislation that came through this body earlier. They went down there. We improved some notification requirements you see on the first page there to include notice to mineral rights on or under lands where a wind facility would be located, and also to include that such notice may be by publication. The rest of this is dependent upon whether or not Senate Bill or House Bill 72 passes this body, which is on third reading today. And in such event, the rest of this is conforming language to make sure that we have the same provisions in each of these two bills as they move forward, so that dealing with the concurrent jurisdiction for the between the Industrial Siting Act, the Public Service Commission, and the county commissioners, as all three of these will at one time or another have to deal with various wind energy facilities. And with those, I think these are completely acceptable. Most of it just makes conforming language in the event that House Bill 72 passes. And so, again, I would urge you to vote aye on this concurrence.
Discussion. Senator Bebout.
Vice President, just a quick question on page 6 after line 3, little F, where we talk about the definition there for record owners of mineral rights. My colleague from Natrona County and I talked about this. The amendment that we have in the House bill that's over here is different than that. Is there a conflict there between the way we define that particular area?
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Vice President, while the sponsor of the motion is addressing that issue, if you would talk a little bit about the preemption provision, so in both languages for 3512105, we now have the Industrial Siting Commission, which was traditionally not a regulatory entity insofar as reclamation areas like that, now adopting rules and regulations. We're expanding their regulation and then providing that those regulations preempt any local county commissioner regulations. And I understand that if we were doing regulations from land quality, air quality, it would be one thing. But as we now embark and expand this role in the industrial siting area, I think we ought to at least talk about that preemptive language and understand why we're doing it and whether it works.
Further discussion, Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, when the sponsor takes his second time, could we have a little explanation of the first second reading amendment that added local to these permits required? Is that putting any significant burden in? What does that really do? The question on page 3 of the message, the second reading amendment, first second reading amendment, particularly page 11 after line 4, insert, what's the practical effect of that amendment? Is that putting an additional burden on here?
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. We'll answer the last question first. The reason that was put in, and actually it ties in directly to the good senator from Albany County's question, what you have as you go through this list is whether there's two ways to proceed through the Industrial Siting Act. One of them is you can ask for a waiver from the provisions of the Industrial Siting Act for a permit. The other one is you seek a permit. In either one of those cases, there are significant notice requirements to certain individuals and entities, including local government, that regardless of which prong of the Industrial Siting Act you proceed, has to be given. So answering that, my fellow and the tallest senator from Natrona County, his question first, the reason that local does is actually, again, make sure, as my understanding is, this makes sure that, again, local governments are notified of any actions as they move forward through the Industrial Siting Act. To the good senator in Albany County, the preemptive language that's in the statute is currently in the statute, and the preemption happens in this regard. You're in the process of filling out your permit, regardless of which prong you proceed under, whether you're seeking a waiver from a permit or a permit, you still have to go, when you come in the Industrial Siting Act, you have to come and show that you've notified and you've been through and you basically got your permits from local government before you get to the Industrial Siting Act. So you're not, they're not preempted in the sense that you've already been to your county commission. You have to come when you demonstrate your permit or make your application permit or seek your waiver. You have to demonstrate you've been through and you have complied with the land use plans or other plans of local government. That is one of the requirements you have when you come to seek your permit. So it's not until after that happens. So you have already had your local permitting authority approved to the county commission at the time you go to the Industrial Siting Commission, and from there on it is preempted. They already have that action. They have already approved that permit. If they haven't approved that permit, then it's pretty much a slam dunk that you're not going to either receive a waiver or a permit from the Industrial Siting Commission.
Further discussion, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I apologize because I understand the two rule, but frankly, that explanation doesn't satisfy me for the following reason. Industrial siting does not regulate all wind towers. They're only regulating that which hits the threshold. County commissioners have to regulate whatever is and ought to have the power to regulate all whatever is missed and all. And this notion that you say these regulations are going to preempt the county, but we're only going to regulate at a threshold of X, means that all the other wind farms that go up that under that threshold have no regulation. And until we get and it seems to me that if what I'm right or wrong, it deserves some analysis to figure out, are all of these going to, does the county have a right at this point to regulate anything underneath the threshold? And they ought to be able to. Unless you want to say that anything under the threshold has no regulation.
Further discussion. Senator Perkins.
Vice President. He's right. I mean, you county should have this authority. Right now, any county that has zoning in the state has the authority to regulate windmills. There are probably eight counties across the state right now that have windmill regulation or wind farm regulation in place. There are other counties that are working on that. But if you have zoning, you have the ability to regulate wind currently. If you don't have zoning, then the senator from Albany County is exactly right. There is no current authority in the counties that do not have zoning to regulate wind. The one bill that we haven't got to yet that's on third reading today is House Bill 72. House Bill 72 is the statutory authority from the legislature, if it passes this body, that will then give any county, whether they have zoning or not, the authority and the minimum requirements to regulate wind in their counties.
It is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 66, and you've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Meyer-S.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
No.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Hines. Bebout, aye to no.
Ross, aye to no.
Ross, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 22 ayes, 8 noes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 66.
Bills on third reading now.
Bills on third reading and final passage. House Bill 44, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 44, sponsored by Representative Illaway, taxation of property used for economic development, and act relating to taxation and revenue, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Case?
Mr. President, I'd like to urge the body to vote against House Bill 44. Mr. President, I think you can find the reasons to vote against House Bill 44 in your Constitution of the State of Wyoming. Mr. President, I'd like to point out a couple of things. One would be Article 15, Section 11, where we create, within the State of Wyoming, the uniformity of assessment is required, where it says that all property except as in this Constitution otherwise provided shall be uniformly valued at its full value as defined by the legislature into the three classes, Mr. President. Mr. President, it is true that there are exceptions to that, and the legislature is empowered within our Constitution to grant exemptions. But I also point out to the body that in two other places in our Constitution, the legislature is prohibited from going down this path. For example, Mr. Vice President, we are prohibited in this body from making appropriations to anyone that's not under the control of the state. We can say, well, that's just not an appropriation. But I'd also suggest to you that if you look, that we are prohibited under Article 16, Section 6, from loaning credit, donations prohibited, works of internal improvement. Neither the state nor any county, city, township, town, school, district, or any other political subdivision shall loan or give its credit.
Senator Larson.
Mr. Chairman, I believe there is an amendment.
It's my fault. I apologize to Senator Schiffer. And Senator Case, I apologize to you. There is an amendment.
Well, the amendment is fine with me, Mr. Vice President.
Senator Case, we will give you the opportunity to speak once we've dealt with the amendment. I apologize to everybody. I'm used to seeing orange copies, and this thing is white. There is an amendment. Reading clerk, please read the amendment.
House Bill 44, third reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 3, line 2.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Vice President, I'd move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 44. Mr. Vice President, this little amendment does a couple things. The first is it changes, and these are cleanup, on page 3, line 2, it's to the word the, on page 3, line 3, subject to the paragraph above. But then the substance of the amendment starts down on on line 11, where we move the word and out of the Larson Amendment, because I'm adding another paragraph. And what this does is it says when they lease, sell, or transfer the property, it's open to the potential prospects. That's what these developers, the people that run these things, like the Economic Development Organization here in Cheyenne, they call them prospects. That's a term of the trade. Will further the purposes, and that's the economic development reason for having them, but that they cannot limit it to members of the organization. There was some discussion and a talk that maybe every so often, sometimes these organizations use the old pay-to-play deal. And what this does is it prescribes them from doing that. I did work with the local Leeds folks, both the director and their lawyer. They approve of this amendment and have signed off on it. As a matter of fact, they helped me write it. I think what it does, it's a little preventive. Telling folks you just can't use a pay-to-play scheme if you're going to do these types of developments. I would be happy to answer questions. And Mr. Vice President, I hope that my colleague from Fremont County will get both his shots later on. I think he thought we were working the bill earlier when he started speaking.
That's correct. Further discussion on the amendment? You ready for the question on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 44? Question's been called. All those in favor of Senator Schiffer's motion to adopt third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 44, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment's been adopted. We are back on the bill. Discussion on the bill. Senator Case.
I apologize for not realizing that that amendment was in there. I didn't see it, and I apologize.
My fault.
You'll
be afforded your two times.
Well, thank you, Mr. Vice President. My point is that this bill is not constitutional, that because it violates the prohibition on creating a separate class of property, it violates the principle that we cannot loan or extend our credit to people that aren't under our control. Mr. President, it's a prohibited appropriation. If we look within the Constitution, you can say it's for economic development, and therefore it must rise up above all these other factors. You know, our Constitution doesn't really allow much economic development. There are two things under economic development that are permitted. One is the legacy of the Amendment 4 funds. And this is where this legislature, by two-thirds vote of each House voting separately, can allocate more money to the Amendment 4 program for direct loans. This is not an Amendment 4 program. The other place in our Constitution would be, Mr. President, it is in Article 17, Section 13. This is where local governments can use locally raised funds upon a vote of the people for economic development. We can't use that because this is not a local development raising of funds. This is an unconstitutional extension of both our powers to property tax, and it violates all those pieces of the Constitution, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President.
Further discussion? Are you ready for the question? House Bill 44, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert? Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer-S? Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott? Sessions? Townsend?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines? Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
House Bill 44, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, House Bill 44 has passed the Senate. House Bill 61. Reading clerk.
Reading.
House Bill 61, sponsored by Representative Throne, Legal Services Funding, an act relating to indigent civil legal services. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Reading clerk will read in the amendment.
House Bill 61 to engross copy. House Bill 61, third reading, amendment number 1, to engross copy, page 1, line 5.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. Vice President, I recall to the Senate the very good debate we had on second reading on this bill yesterday, where some very serious concerns were raised about this bill. Afterwards, a group of us got together at the very handy press table up front, and with the assistance of folks from the lobby, attempted to develop a compromise amendment, and that's what this is. I hope it will meet the concerns. First thing we're going to do is, if you look starting at line 12 in the amendment, we're going to set some priorities. Now, these aren't absolute, this is what you got to follow. These are priorities, and we say they're not intended to be exclusive. So if we get the odd case that doesn't fit the priorities, they can still take them. But the priorities we came up with were, first, cases in which an indigent individual is a defendant in a lawsuit. Typically, these are collection agencies and that sort of thing suing somebody. The information we had was, these are cases that give our district judges a lot of trouble because the indigent individual is not well represented. You've got a disparity in the ability to present the case before the court, and you have some injustices being done. Second, in cases in which indigent individuals seeking to enforce a court order, Mr. Vice President, I suspect the most common of these will be cases involving child support and child visitation rights, where you get court orders and people are mad, so they just ignore the court order. And that's inappropriate, and it's unfair when it happens to somebody who can't afford to fight back. Three, cases involving domestic relations and family law. In our drafting, we sought to define that very broadly, as you can see here. Four, matters involving general legal advice to indigent individuals. They got a problem they think is legal. They don't know where to turn. The information we had was that's a considerable part of the work of these legal aid operations, and it's a real help to people in complying with the law and maybe drawing up a few simple documents like wills and things like that. Then we had, there was concern about these organizations overreaching, so we developed subsection B, so that in adopting the rules governing the program, court shall prohibit activity in the following areas. Cases seeking tort damages. You know, we've got plenty of attorneys who will take those on a contingency basis. Two, criminal offense. That's the job of the public defender. Three, and here's where I think most of the concern that was expressed yesterday was, cases against public agencies or political subdivisions seeking to change or overturn existing rules, regulations, and policies. Now, we don't want them going out trying to overturn an entire regulatory scheme or something like that. That's not their function. But they can represent individuals who are entitled to or think they're entitled to benefits under the existing regulations and aren't getting it. And I'm told that the most typical case here will involve the federal SSI benefits, which are, the rules there are more than a little complicated and difficult, and you often need an attorney to get through them. Mr. Vice President, that's the amendment. I think it's a reasonable dealing with the concerns, and I think valid concerns that were expressed. I would urge the Senate to adopt the amendment and pass the bill.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I've struggled with this bill because I have, I think there are a lot of great benefits from the bill. I think there's a lot of great potential harm that can become of it. I think this amendment does not help the bill. A couple reasons. One is I don't know how you can administer this. If you're sitting here and you're the judicial branch down in Cheyenne, and you're trying to figure out how to administer resources and which lawyers should get be appointed on the front end of a case, And looking at this list, I frankly don't know how you can possibly administer it. I just don't see. We know how to administer dollars, and I simply can't see how to do it. I also disagree with a lot of the priorities, and I'll talk about priorities 2 and 3. But if you want to talk about what you shouldn't be doing, I don't think they should be paying for appellate work doing. If once the case is resolved, there shouldn't be appellate work. Appellate work's not addressed. I do think that if we're going to regulate, we should regulate with respect to the number of hours that are produced in a typical case and ensuring. But let me take 2 and 3. So you say that the least priority is a case where there's a domestic relation. So an indigent spouse, that let's suppose the indigent spouse is the custodial wife, and the husband who's got resources files a divorce. She has no resources for fees, and so that's a lower priority in 3 than number 2, where 2 might be the non-custodial spouse who decides he's not going to pay his child support, and now the custodial spouse is suing the non-custodial parent. It could be a deadbeat mother or father, and saying, why aren't you paying these amounts? And now we're going to provide him an attorney's fee so he can drive up the cost of the custodial spouse in getting what they're otherwise entitled to, simply because there's a court order. So he violates a court order, and now we put that as number 2 in priority. Makes absolutely no sense to me as I look at it. So I think that there are problems that and the concerns I've always had with this act is where you go and you begin to pay for fees for one indigent person, and another person is semi-indigent, and ultimately the fees of everybody getting driven up. We saw that in the GAL program where the guardian ad litem actually make it more expensive for both spouses. I don't know how to deal with that. I think that there are times and places where you need to have, and it'd be appropriate to have attorneys appointed. But I submit to you, this is not a proper scale in terms of at worst from 1 to 4. There are other things that we're not even dealing with, and I don't see how you can even administer it by the court. So I'd urge your rejection of the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The alternative is not to give indigent individuals any access to the court system. And then, you know, how fair is that? The judicial branch is there to apply the law and to assess the law fairly for everybody. And it's important for the basis of a free society and a democratic society to be able to have that access. And without this bill, a lot of people don't have access, and we all have experiences with many of our constituents who can't do it. With regard to how we're going to implement it, it says in adopting rules and regulations, so the Supreme Court will indicate how it's going to be implemented. It indicates what the top priorities are going to be for office staff who have customers and indigent individuals who are bringing them cases. They're going to be able to sort through those cases if there's overwhelming demand, and they'll know how to prioritize their time based upon 1 through 4. It's not an exclusive list, Mr. Chairman, as noted up on lines 13 and 14, where it says, which is not intended to be an exclusive list. And just as importantly, we tell them for the first time in this bill what they can't do, you know, where the money can't go towards. And that's tort damages, criminal defense, and changing public policy. I think that this gives a great deal of legislative direction to the Supreme Court as they decide how it is going to be implemented. And it's being implemented fairly and well in 48 other states in this country, and until we got crossways with the agency that used to do this, it was working well in Wyoming. It was an administrative problem, okay, not a legal problem that we had previously.
Further discussion, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Vice President. I guess if you look at some of the examples that the good senator from Albany County brought up by cases in number 3 in domestic relations where someone sues someone else, I guess look at the top of the list, it's cases in which an indigent individual is a defendant in a lawsuit. So they jump to the top of the list.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Scott, for your second time.
Some of the criticism. I don't think this will be difficult. I think this will help the administration. I think we're going to have more workload than we have budget and resources. You know, nothing unusual about that. And this gives the people running the program some guidance as to where to put the bulk of their effort. And I would not interpret it as saying number one is more important than number two. These are, it doesn't say in order of priority. It says these are your priorities. There will be other things out there that, because these are not exclusive priorities, are dealt with. So I think that it gives the people some guidance and it gives them some flexibility. And I think it'll work just fine. And, Mr. Vice President, I think the prohibitions, especially number three, are very important in terms of keeping this from doing things that we don't intend it to do. So I would urge us to adopt the amendment.
Question is, shall third reading amendment number 1 to 61 to House Bill 61 pass? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That amendment has been adopted. Discussion on the bill. Senator Honeycutt.
Mr. Vice Chairman, or Vice President, not necessarily against this bill, and I think it's an interesting program. I think it's going to become a big legal welfare program. And in that essence, I haven't seen a definition of indigent yet. Does that include foreign students on visas, foreign workers here on work permits, or even illegal aliens? That really hasn't been defined here, and I tried to look it up in the statutes. I didn't see anything there as well. So if I could get an answer to that, I'd sure like it. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, I was looking forward to, as I recall the discussion from Committee of the Whole, it's in here at 200% of the federal poverty level, as I believe. I can't lay my hands on the exact citation, but I'm told that's correct. And we know that's well defined. We know what it is, and it does respond to inflation. So I think it's an appropriate definition.
Senator Honeycutt, are you second time?
Mr. Vice President, really didn't answer my question. The poverty part, I understand that is around 200%. It's who are they? Residents of this country, are they citizens of this country, or can it be anybody that just happens to be here and is poor?
Further discussion. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I'll try and answer that question. I think that ultimately it's the indigent are, I think, will be established along the guidelines. I imagine there already is a legal services determination for those types of indigent. I would assume that the rules and regulations would be very similar to that. But back to who you are, I think that that's maybe one of the things that you can turn to the amendment that was just passed. And looking at that, the indigent are going to be those. You look at the first two, you're an indigent and you're an individual and a defendant in a lawsuit. I mean, whether you're that's going to be a lawsuit that's filed in Wyoming, you're a defendant of that lawsuit. And ultimately, it's probably not going to matter whether you're a citizen or a member of Wyoming or another state or even of this country. If you're indigent and defender of the lawsuit, I would assume that you're going to be entitled to that defense. I think, and you can go down there and look at that. Ultimately, if you're indigent and you have a court order from a state, or another state that needs to be enforced in this state for it to be effective, those are the individuals who are going to be able to qualify for that if they meet that. And so I think, in some respects, while I agree with the good senator from Albany about the amendment, what it did to the bill, but ultimately I think it does answer some of those questions. And going forward, and if these priorities don't work out, if there's something about this bill we don't like, I would remind the body that we'll be here with a report in about 10 months to look at it again and to fix it if it's broken.
Further discussion. Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I didn't like this bill, and now I really don't like this bill. If the good senator in the back of the room there the other day said, made this statement about this is the path to socialized law. We have socialized medicine, now a socialized law. We heard that we lost the money, but then during the study we got the money back from the feds, but now we're going to put more money in from the state, and it's not the it's not the guys like us that have to go get a lawyer that have increased the price of law. It's the law organization or the lawyers that have increased the price of law. So rather than taking $10 from the citizen as they apply or file for a law or a suit or a law case, why not just have the guys that are collecting the money on it? If this is so important, have them put the $10 in out of theirs. I'd hope that we'd resist this bill, look at it a little bit more. If we really think we need more money beyond what the feds are putting up there, let's come back next year and talk about it. But this is not the right time to do this.
Further discussion. Are you ready for the question? Or Senator Perkins, I'm sorry.
Mr. Vice President, I just like to address that. Ultimately, I guess, you know, we had those same types of arguments a few years ago when we were trying to build a courthouse in our county. So why don't we go ahead and just make the lawyers pay for it? Because they're the ones that use it, and they're the ones that make a living at the courthouse. Last I looked, that access to justice and access to the courts in this state is a constitutional right. It's not something that was made so the lawyers can make a living, but it's a right of every individual in this state, every man, woman, and child, to have access to the courts. This was studied over the interim. It was looked at very hard. There were two Supreme Court justices who donated a significant amount of time. They traveled all over the state to look and assess the need of this, and this is what came back. It came back through the Judiciary Committee, who heard testimony on this a couple of times during the interim. This has been looked at. This has been studied. This is the fledgling program. You can decide whether equal justice in Wyoming is a constitutional right that you believe in or not. I would suggest to you that if you believe in equal access to the courts, everybody can go in their district and they can find an orphan, they can find a single woman, they can find a battered mother, they can find a man who's been trodden down and beat underfoot and doesn't have the money to get to court, and he doesn't have equal access. And that's what this is about. Now, you can vote it up or vote it down, but this is about a constitutional right. And right now, there's a lot of people in our state who don't feel like they have that right. And ultimately, they end up doing things outside of court and settling for things they shouldn't settle and giving up on rights for children and giving up on their parental rights because they don't have the wherewithal or the ability to find out what they need to know in order to defend those rights in court. And is it perfect? Absolutely not. I don't know what governmental program that we do is. But just think about that as you vote your conscience today.
Further discussion. Senator Nicholas, for your second.
Mr. Vice President, I guess I would take issue that this is, in fact, an access to the courts bill. Folks, everybody has access to the court. Everybody has a right to go into the court. If they wanted to describe it as an access to justice bill, that's fine. If you believe that people don't get justice inside the courts without litigation or without having counsel, and that everybody ought to have the right to have good counsel, that's fair enough. But for 1 minute, don't suggest that there is a lack of access to our courts.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, this is not my bill, I had some reservations about it, some serious reservations about it. But let's look at the practicalities of it. The legal system has priced itself out of the range of the average citizen. It's just too expensive. Justice is for sale in this country because the legal system has gotten so expensive. And what this bill does is, or at least some of our citizens, and it's 200% of federal poverty, we did check that out, find it and confirm it. Yes, it is 200% of federal poverty. Frankly, you could make a good argument for carrying it to 300% of federal poverty because so many people are closed out of using the courts. And I was very heartened to hear the Chief Justice talk about need to do something about the cost of legal justice when he gave us his State of the State. And I interpreted that the courts were going to go to work on some of the factors that are causing it to be unreasonably expensive. But there's considerable injustice being done now to people who cannot afford to fight back, where they get hit with lawsuits from collection agencies, may or may not be justified, where they get court orders, particularly in domestic relations cases, and child support and child visitation are the most common of these, where somebody's mad and they just ignore a court order. And that's not right. And this starts to redress that balance. Mr. Vice President, I think something like this is necessary in order for us to have a fair civilization and a civilization where people have a reasonable chance when they are wrong. So I urge adoption of the bill.
You ready for the question? Question is, House Bill 61, having been read three separate times, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon? Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Meyer-S?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines? Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 20 ayes, 10 noes.
House Bill 61, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, House Bill 61 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I think this is the appropriate time for about a 10-minute break, so with that I would move that the Senate be at ease for about 10 minutes or until a sound of the gavel.
You know, I've done that where I've been the only one that was right and 29 others were wrong.
Happens to me all the time.
Happens to you all the time. Well, really? I haven't noticed that.
Are we going to have management council? I looked at all of those interim things. I only saw one little dispute deal in all of them, and that was...
Anyway, tomorrow at 2:30.
Oh, tomorrow at 2:30.
Thursday at 2:30.
Oh, Thursday at 2:30. Okay, I thought it was today at 2:30.
No, I think it's tomorrow.
Okay, well, good. Because...
Thank you.
Senate will come to order. Conference committees on Senate File 36. We have that message right in front of me. Who will be Von Pleiteren, Chairman, Nicholas, and Elliot. For message 260, Senate File 70, conference committee will be Geist, Chairman, Massey, and Perkins. Yes, Senate File 7, message 260. Message 261, Senate File 13. Geist Chairman, B. Bout, and S. Myers. Meyer. Message 263, Senate File 31. B. Bout, Chairman, Jennings, and Hastert. Message 264, Senate File 39, Co-Chairman, Massey, and Schiffer. House Bill 65, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 65, sponsored by the Management Council. Revisor's Bill, an act relating to revision of inadvertent errors, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is amendment. With reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
House Bill 65, third reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 26, line 6.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 65, the revisor's bill. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an amendment brought to us by staff. It is a result of the passage of Senate File 9, which was the Juvenile Detention Facility Standards Bill. This just conforms the effective dates pursuant to the passage of that bill, and I urge your favorable consideration.
Are you ready for the question? House Bill 60, Question B, third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 65. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment has passed. Further discussion on the bill. House Bill 65, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk, recall the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geist.
Aye.
Hastert. Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Meyer-S.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote closed. 30 ayes.
House Bill 65, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 65 have passed the Senate. House Bill 72, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 72, sponsored by Representative Stubson, Regulation of Wind Energy Facilities, an act relating to siting and regulation of wind energy facilities, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is amendment. Will the chief reading clerk read in the amendment?
House Bill 72, third reading amendment number 1 to engross copy. Delete the Honeycutt Bebout second reading amendment.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 72. And ask for your favorable consideration. We've already had this debate yesterday. I think it's a mistake, and I just wanted to bring up a few points for you to think about whether or not you vote this up or down today. First of all, when we talk about land, we divide it into sections. Section, Mr. President, as you very well know, is about 640 acres, about a square mile. When you have a half-mile setback, you're potentially removing the right of that landowner to use about 320 of those acres. When you, in a zoning situation, most agricultural land out in the county where you're going to find a wind facility
is designated as ranching, agricultural, or mining, a RAM. And when you do that, the wind under that, in almost any instance, is going to be what's called a conditional use permit. The reason I point that out is when individuals go out into the country and they make a rural subdivision, they go out into RAM, typically RAM or RAM country, to make that subdivision. So they know when they go out there that it's likely that that's either going to have agricultural uses, it's going to have mining uses, or it could even have a wind farm use at some point in time. And when we have a half mile, when we have a half mile setback on that, ultimately, if you have a section with a rural subdivision on two sides, you're really taking away half the owner's use of that land, of that entire square mile section when we do that. If there's no zoning, then if people go out and they move out into the city or out into the county, knowing that anything can happen on the land next to them. The other only other point I would make is that we had some discussion about safety zones yesterday. Indeed, the blade speeds on those big old units are high. But the standard safety setback in the industry is 110% of tower plus blade height. That's in this bill already. That it has to be 110% of tower height, which is always computers as tower height plus blade height. 110% of that amount has to be set back from the property line. And that's been the information that we learned during the Wind Energy Task Force with respect to setbacks. And with that, voted up or voted down, but I wanted to have that additional information in your hand as you vote on this amendment today.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Folks, on and against the amendment, when you hear an argument that, hey, this affects my use of the property, that you're prohibiting from allowing me to use my property the way I want to, the issue is who pays for the cost of a buffer? And you can go out and see these windmills, we all see them, and you can realize that the impact of those wind farms is significant, and they're significant not only on the land on which they're mounted, but the land that's adjacent to it. And if you tell the wind owners that you do not have to purchase your buffer, you're simply allowing wind owners to use somebody else's property for buffering. And they're getting it for free. And frankly, a half a mile may not be good. They're buying our vistas, they're without compensation, and they're buying lots of impacts without compensation. But in this instance, a half a mile buffer, you know that you're probably not going to want to build a house there. You're not going to want to build an expensive house. And the guy that has that buffer property, his value is being negated or impacted adversely. So, again, the issue is who pays for the buffer? And I submit to you the first people that put up the wind farms ought to be paying for the buffer.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I think we're debating one of the fundamental issues as to whether we're going to have wind development in this state or not. I'm going to therefore ask for the yeas and nays.
Anyone want to speak before the sponsor have his second term? Senator Honeycutt.
Mr. President, I think this is actually my first one, but that's okay. One of the cities here in southeast Wyoming put 50 wind generators on 100 acres. They put it on their own property that they leased for the city landfill without any regard for the subdivision right across the road from them. And that's one of my fears. I'm not too worried about these wind generators, and you put them out in the middle of Wyoming where there's really nobody to see them and there's thousands of acres in between of them. But when you get real close to the cities, that's in subdivisions, that's what concerns me, not only for the safety but mostly for the looks and all the red lights and all the strobe lights that are on them. And I worry about cities and counties who own their own public electric things needing money badly and that have land around a county, for instance, a city that owns land in the county next to a subdivision. I've dealt with city government a lot, and I have found that sometimes what is good for the goose is not good for the gander. I've seen the cities lease buildings to daycare centers that don't meet building codes. I've seen cities And one of them is dealing with the state right now about a parking lot. Did you have to landscape the parking lot? But the city goes out, tears down a building, and paves it curb to curb. I've seen the cities telling people how to do design concepts, and yet they go out and do what they want. That's what I fear is a government organization that has the power to set its own standards and needing these wind generators. I just fear them. I think, you know, actually, I'd like to see them 2 miles away, but I think a half a mile is at least gives the neighbors some sense of that they are protected from the blades and that they don't necessarily have to look at the tower standing right straight up in front of them at 3 blocks away. You can see what cities do already. If you turn to page on page 10, line 7 through 9, they got a half a mile, but the people living in the county got a quarter of a mile. You can always see the discrimination on the part of the city governments. And I think I've said enough. Thank you.
Then we'll be back.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. On and against amendment. Just one other point to make, and I think there have been some very good points that have been made. We're talking about people that already went through the process of platting a subdivision. They went out there in good faith and spent money to purchase the land and build a home. Now wind is coming on, and so we're going to come in there and say it's going to be a quarter mile, understanding these are minimum standards, but it's going to be a quarter mile. As we move forward, and if you're going to plat a subdivision, then that person that owns that section of land, that 640, he might be the subdivider. He may be the developer. But certainly whoever that person is will participate in the process of that platted subdivision and or wind development. So what we're really talking about are those people that are already there when they bought their little platted subdivision, their piece of heaven for them, didn't know about this. As we move forward, everybody will know, and they'll have plenty of opportunities to talk about it, whether it's in the development stage of the subdivision or where it's in the development of the wind. I would ask you to defeat this amendment.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I don't know what to think on this amendment and or this issue, as a matter of fact. And frankly, it's been one of those things that's been niggling at me. And the thing I think that's been niggling at me about it is we're talking about standards for how far the windmill would be from the subdivision or something like that. But what's the standard for a windmill? I don't see it in this bill. We've seen these towers, and they all seem to be about the same height. But we're talking about ongoing technology. So what happens if, let's say, they decide that a bigger windmill is actually more efficient, in which case I would argue against the amendment. I'm sorry. I would argue against the amendment. But what if technology says, hey, smaller is more efficient, smaller is better, and not only that, it's not like it's not vertical anymore. Now it's horizontal, and it looks like nothing more than a pillbox. Then actually, that's an argument for the amendment. And so it's one of those things that's frankly been kind of tearing at me. And I was wondering if anybody could help me out with what is the standard for windmill? Is there a standard for windmills? And so I'm afraid we're kind of arguing in a vacuum here, going by just what we've seen along the highway so far, which may be completely obsolete within 2 years.
Senator Honeycutt, this time for your second time.
You could have shut me up one way or another. My wife calls me Don Quixote, so, you know, crazy senator chasing wind generators. In answer to our Senator Burns, I don't think there's any real standard. All I've seen is that they continue to grow in size in terms of the megawatts and also the blade size. One company built some on some Air Force property, and they start off with two little 1 megawatt ones, and now they're up to 1.5 megs. And the blades themselves, I would say, and this is, I don't have the facts, sorry, is probably about twice the size of the 1 megs.
For the discussion, the question being, shall Senate Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 70... Okay, excuse me, Senator Perkins.
Mr. President, just to answer a couple of those questions, the technology, the standards have changed. Initially, the standard was about 1, and then it was about 1.5. And well, if you listen to a certain large company who makes a lot of these in the United States, they say they're on the way to 2.5. so that ultimately the towers can get taller. But there is additional technology. There's technology right here in Wyoming that has these things only about three stories tall. And ultimately, you know, that's a very good question. That's a very good point. Is ultimately the technology we have with these big fans may be obsolete in a few years. We'll have to wait and see. The market is going to pick the winners on that. Two other things I would like you to think about is ultimately there's a difference 1.5 mile of a town. People know that the town are there when it happens. The town is there. There's a principle called coming to the nuisance. You can't go. It's hard to understand. When you move into the country, are they taking your rights or do you, when you move into the country and you have a scenic view over somebody else's property, and you somehow believe that you're entitled to maintain that view when you don't own that property? These are fundamental questions that people will ask with and fight with for a long time. The only point I'd bring to your attention is the difference in this is with a half mile setback, you're probably down to one turbine on a section. And with a quarter mile setback, you can probably get 2 to 3 turbines on a section. And to a rancher who doesn't have minerals and trying to keep his life together, the royalties from those things can be significant and can be the difference between keeping a ranch together and not. Anyway, vote it up or vote it down, but we've had the debate once again.
Question being, shall third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 72 pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Present.
Case?
No.
Co?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert? Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer-S?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines?
Conflict.
Burns, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 11 ayes, 18 noes, 1 conflict.
The amendment has failed. Second. Amendment. Reading clerk, please read it in.
House Bill 72, third reading amendment number 2 to engross copy. Page 22, line 23.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 72, and for an explanation of the amendment, I'll yield the floor to the good senator from Albany County.
Senator Nicklaus.
Mr. President, this addresses the issue that we just described, and that is where we say that the regulations being adopted by the council preempt the county regulations. We make clear that the council's preemption only occurs with respect to that which is being regulated. So there is no preemption of those facilities that are not regulated by the Act.
Further discussion on the amendment. Question being called for. Should third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 72 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment has passed. House Bill 72, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Co?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Meyer-S.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 ayes.
House Bill 72, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 72 has passed the Senate. House Bill 89, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 89, sponsored by Representative Gilmore, resident contractor Prefacence, an act relating to construction contracts with public entities, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. With reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
House Bill 89, third reading amendment number 1, due in gross copy, page 2, line 11.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 89 and ask for the body's affirmative vote on this. I hate to bring on third reading a cleanup from the committee, but if you remember, we had removed professional services out of this particular bill, and we didn't reach far enough back and notice that line 11, where this amendment strikes a request for proposal, would confuse some people because request for proposal is done just to professional services, not to their subcontractors. So we need to strike that language to make it quite clear that this has nothing to do with professional services. I ask for your affirmative vote.
Senator Peterson.
Did you find me? Thank you, Mr. President. On and against this amendment, fellow senators, a lot of times the request for proposal is linked to the bid. Personal experience, been up against it many times in my business. I disagree with how it's linked, but I've seen it done many times where the request for proposal is given away on the condition that 50% of the bid is received by the firm doing the proposal. So they're interlinked, and don't make no mistake about it. The request for proposal is definitely linked to the bids themselves.
Further discussion? Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 89 pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
No. Chairs in doubt, all in favor, please stand. How many?
16.
Thank you. All opposed? The amendment has passed. Third reading amendment number 2. Reading clerk, please read the amendment.
House Bill 89, third reading amendment number 2, to engross copy, page 1, line 5.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 89. Members of the Senate, based on the debate that we had the other day, or yesterday, I guess it was, I restructured the amendment with the assistance of my counterpart here and tailored the amendment to the discussion and the concerns about not getting into the fact, you know, the bids that were being put up today or the ones that might be up next week. We simply are saying that anything that's already let that doesn't have to fall under this, and if it comes in after this, it's effective. All we're trying to do is capture the work for the in-state contractors and not mess up or dilute the process that's already in place or on the bids that are in progress. Mr. President, just a final note on this is if you'll notice in the outer chamber that there's a great coalition of business and labor that has come together on this bill and it's on the bill and on the amendments, and all they're trying to do is put Wyoming workers and Wyoming contractors to work. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator Larson.
Mr. Chairman, I ask you to vote against this amendment. It is just the same issue that we talked about yesterday. We talked about it before. Yes, it is a restructured amendment, but it's the same issue. And I ask you to resist it. Effective immediately is really reserved for those things that it really has to be done right away. Give the industry time to absorb and get the ideas of what's going out and the out-of-state people so that they know it's not being hammered on them all at once. Same issue we had yesterday, but a little bit of restructuring. I ask you to vote no.
Senator Von Platerman.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is the same issue as yesterday. This is a much cleaner version of it. What this says is anything in progress, if you've got bids out there, you're a construction manager at risk, bid design build type contract already let to you, and you're negotiating and you're going to open up your bids next week, this does not apply to you. So in other words, you're going to put your package together next week and start construction shortly thereafter, and all of a sudden you'd see this yesterday's amendment would have enacted this instantly. And so you go to start and finish up your numbers next week, and you'd find out that, oh, wait a second, I had to have sealed bids and envelopes, open them publicly. And we didn't want to mess with that. That process is in place. What this amendment does, it says from this enactment of this forward, when you go out for proposals, you will know. When you go out for bids to your subs, they will know that it'll be a sealed envelope, publicly open bid from your subs. That's what this does. Don't mess with anything that's already in process, but from the enactment on, because some very large projects could happen between now and July 1. And so if we just leave this enacting on July 1, a lot of proposals and things could be in the works that on July 1 would suddenly change, or in-state contractors could, as this thing's trying to do is help them out, could miss getting involved because it could all be done by July 1. In fact, they'd hustle to get it done by July 1 if they thought it was an economic advantage to the CMAR or the person with the design, bid, build contract. So this is a good amendment. It cleans it up, doesn't interfere with what's going on, hopefully catches the work for the locals from this point on.
Senator Nicholas.
Yeah, Mr. President, I would ask that the amendment be divided. Division number one would be 1 through lines 12. And division two would be lines 13 through 18.
Okay, that is, I believe, is divisible.
Mr. President, speaking to item or division number one, it seems to me that's a good division no matter how you look at number two.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I'd like to ask that the amendment be further divided, please. Actually, never mind. I'm sorry. I just realized the rule that each division has to stand on its own, and I can't. Then, in that case, Mr. President, I have a question for the sponsor of the amendment, and probably for the chairman of transportation. On line 10, you have the words "or request for proposal." Mr. President, we just had a very close vote on the last amendment to remove that to avoid confusion. So if we pass this amendment, aren't we now re-injecting that confusion back into the bill?
Is further discussion on the amendment? We're voting on Division 1.
No answer.
Line 1 through 12, to third reading amendment number 2 to the House Bill 89. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That part of the amendment has passed. We are on Division 2, line 13 through 18. Discussion on the amendment.
Might have or request for proposal, but it wouldn't stand.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I think that with the passage of the first part of this, this is actually seems to be a reasonable thing to go effective immediately. I don't think there's going to be that much confusion in the bid process itself or cause that much heartache. The simple fact of the matter is that at some point in time, this act is going to be effective. And no one here can say that you're not going to have more or less bids that are going out today or when this act is immediately effective or on the 1st of July. Irregardless, there's going to be some impact one way or the other. But I think that anybody that's in the business is going to be aware of this. It's not like the contractors operate in a vacuum. So, frankly, I think that they're going to know what's going on and they're going to be able to handle it.
Question on Division 2, lines 13 through 18 to third reading amendment number 2, House Bill 89. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
That division have passed. Senator Bebop.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to get back to that the previous amendment before the last one we just voted on, and I'm really trying to find out and understand what we did. We've got one part of the law that talks about resident contractors with a 5% preference. Okay, on page 2, we went in there, and on lines 9 and 10, eliminated the alternate design and construction because we moved it over to responsibilities under that delivery. Okay, and we added the language in there to allow the subcontractor bid to be open publicly. I support that. Now you've gone into the resident contractor's part of the law under 166102, and you've eliminated the word RFP. Now, a lot of times you certainly have a bid project, but you have RFPs that people have done in the past that have had the 5% preference. By striking that language, is an unintended consequence, the fact that now you've removed that from the preference, and when you still haven't affected what's going on in 166708, which is subcontractors under the alternative delivery contracts. And I'm not sure that you just didn't go into another part of the law and change something you didn't want to do. The other part of this bill is a good part of the bill, and maybe if this passes, if somebody can get to the House and just be sure on that, because it may have an unintended consequence.
Further discussion on House Bill 89, Senator Devon Bladeren.
I realize, Mr. President, it's getting late. Thank you for the time. I think the key word is on page 2, number line 8, the end of it. If advertisements for bids or request for proposal is not required, it goes to a resident of the state. The next sentence starts at the end of 10 with a capital I for if. If advertisement for bids is required, the contract shall be let to the responsible certified resident making the lowest bid if the certified resident's bid is not more than 5% higher than the lowest responsible non-resident bid. Or request for proposal is used, and I will give the good senator from the Northern Bighorns here some credence to what he says. You could use request for proposal, and by eliminating it out of there is a slight chance. But what I would say is this is for structures. So it's large contracts, but request for proposal is used for professional services, which we cannot regulate due to, I think, Title IX, which says how you will pick a professional service. So this bill has actually improved chances that local or resident bidders, contractors, will get the work. It's important that we clear up the language. It was an unintended consequence of allowing construction manager at risk and design bid build. It was an unintended consequence of their negotiating with their subs that cut a lot of state resident contractors out. This clears that mistake up and puts it back in. I ask for your favorable vote on the bill.
Are you ready for the question? House Bill 89, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk, will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Meyer-S.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Von Platern.
Aye.
President Hines.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Townsend, aye to no.
Anderson,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 22 ayes, 8 noes.
House Bill 89, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 89 have passed the Senate. House Bill 106, third reading of a House Bill.
House Bill 106, sponsored by Representative Pedersen, Small Business Investment Credit, and Act Relating to Economic Development. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Will you read in the amendment, please?
House Bill 106, third reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 17, line 18.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 106, and if you don't vote for this, it'll probably die. Can't have that. No, not at all. Now, Mr. President, I'm going to have you take a look at the fiscal note. I passed it out earlier today. That came from the white sheet of the bill. It wasn't on your gross bill, so I wanted to make sure that everybody had that. It kind of explains how that $30 million gets into the pipeline. actually, you won't see this bill impact on the general fund on the goldenrod. And because if it was effective immediately, you'd have about probably around a $9 million or plus effect right on the general fund right off the top. That deduction will not show up until the years 2013-2014, that biennium. And so what I did, Mr. President, was come in there and into the biennium 2013-14 and put $10 million in. And so this program is funded for one biennium. I think that's a reasonable way to fund most programs. We usually don't fund programs for 6, 7, 8 years or earmark funds that will go on and on and on. We've done that in some circumstances with our different things like our severance taxes and things like that, the cities and towns and our water development funds. And it's a kind of a rarity that we fund past the biennium. And so, Mr. President, this is what this amendment does. It gives biennium funding for the program for 2 years, and we'll see if it gets off and running and rolls. And if it does, then in the next biennium after that, we can come back in and continue the invasion of the general fund through the premium tax credits and continue to roll. I think that's a reasonable thing to do is fund this economic development program just like we do the Business Council, Business Ready Communities, and all other economic development programs that I know of. I see no reason why we have to make this a special case. And so, Mr. President, I would hope for your favorable consideration.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I think this falls outside our rule requiring roll call votes on things that increase or decrease the budget. So I'm going to ask for the yeas and nays on it. As I read this, what this amendment does is reduces the eventual down-the-road hit to the general fund by $20 million, and that's significant. So I think it's appropriate that we take a roll call on it.
Senator Ross, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, folks. Look, these programs have been around in other states. We're not taking a gigantic step with this in comparison to other states. Their programs are $100 to $200 million. This is $30 million. The reality of this is, though, that if you want to pass this amendment, you're effectively killing the program. Let's give this a chance. Running, $30 million is walking. $100, $200 million is running. I think this is a good program. Its time is now, and I urge your favorable defeat of this amendment.
Senator Townsend. Senator Townsend.
Thank you, Mr. President. I can comment on this situation. Anecdotally, I was up until a few years ago, I was deeply into the oil business and deeply involved with investors and insurance companies investing in projects. And I can tell you that I don't know how many calls I've made, and they said, "How big is the deal?" I said, "Well, you know, a couple $1 million." And they said, "We won't touch anything, less than five." And a lot of them won't touch anything unless they're 20. They just can't. The big investors like a deal that the rewards are great, and yes, their risks are high. But I can tell you that they don't look at these small ones. I think the success in this is that there would be enough money for the investors to get their teeth into. They just don't like the little deals, and they like the big deals. And the only problem I had is that I just didn't have a big enough deal.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on against the amendment. Given the fertile imagination of the good senator from Torrington, I'm just glad that we do not have a fourth, fifth, and sixth reading, because these amendments are coming like haggling at an Iraqi bazaar. Either vote for the bill or vote against the bill, but don't try and whittle the thing down on amendments.
Further discussion. Senator Larson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would urge you to resist the amendment. No, it doesn't show up on your golden rod because there isn't any effect until 2013. But the time cost of money, by that time, it'll be a higher golden rod if the program works, and I expect that it will. Yes, it's economic development, but again, you know, third reading, we tried it at a million, now we're trying it at 10, and I agree with the good senator from Sheridan County. Thank heaven we don't have fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Further discussion on the amendment. Question being, shall Senator Meyer, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Okay, fourth, fifth, or sixth readings notwithstanding, Mr. President. You look at $10 million and you say it's not much, and you say $30 million is just a drop in the bucket, too. Folks, these are different times. You look at the golden rod you have today, and you just look at it and you say, okay, when we come back in here in a couple of years, there's going to be $10 million less on this. And then there's going to be another $10 million less and another $10 million less. And folks, I can remember in the 90s when we were scrambling to get $5 or $6 million for education. And I know where education is running, we're going to have a big problem paying for it. And so, and if you want to tie up and earmark money for 5, 6, 8 years at a time, and if you want to take and have, money that is not going to, designated qualified, investments, and it is solely spent in the discretion that the investment company deems appropriate, which is just free money in their pocket, then do it. So, but if you want to have a little bit of control and have the appropriations look at this investment in economic development the same light as it looks at all other governmental functions, then I think you should vote for the amendment.
Thank you.
Question moved and called for on third reading amendment number House Bill 106. Yeas and nays have been called for, and the chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer-S?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 7 ayes, 23 noes.
By your vote, the amendment has failed. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, one should know better to get up and talk against a bill that has 14 co-sponsors in this body right here. And I definitely can see that, Mr. President. But, Mr. President, this bill, really, as it works, is no different than us sitting here and appropriating money for this program out of the general fund. All we've done is to intercept a flow of tax revenue that directly goes to the general fund from specific taxpayers and by an amount up to the amount of their other obligations. But I see no difference between that and appropriation from the general fund. It's the same thing. And the Constitution prohibits us from making appropriations for charitable, industrial, education, or benevolent purposes to any person, corporation, or community not under the absolute control of the state, nor to any denominational sector, or institution, or association. Notice the word industrial purposes in there, Mr. Chairman. Mr. President. Mr. President, the other aspect is that, you know, we are indeed... We cannot loan our credit. We cannot make donations. We can't do works of internal improvement. Neither the state nor any county, city, township, town, school district, or any other political subdivision shall loan or give its credit. We are loaning or giving our credit here, Mr. President, or make donations to or in aid of any individual, association, or corporation except for the necessary support of the poor. The last time I checked, there weren't a lot of... I think venture capitalists are pretty poor, Mr. President, but they are not that poor. I think they're above 200% of the poverty level. Mr. President, this is not an economic development program sanctified in our Constitution, which would be the Amendment 4 legacy program. It's not an economic development program approved by local voters and funded with local funds.
Further discussion. Senator Meyer.
Mr. President... Mr. President, I have to agree with the good senator from Lander. And I want everybody to turn to page 23, subsection C. And I'll read it if you don't have your bill right in front of you. It says, any designated capital not invested in qualified investments by a Wyoming small business investment company shall be held or invested in such a manner as the Wyoming small business investment company in its discretion deems appropriate. So, Mr. President, what this says, it's basically a hole big enough to drive every semi on I-80 through for the next 8 years, Mr. President, because this says that if you really, you can go out and you can make qualified investments. But if you just don't make those qualified investments, all the money you get into your investment company, you can use it in your discretion as you deem appropriate. That we are appropriating general fund money to a small business investment company, which we have no control over whatsoever, to do whatever they want to do as they deem appropriate. So, Mr. President, that one little hole in this bill to me, makes this so unconstitutional, it's just repugnant. I like economic development. We need economic development. And we need to diversify our economy. I don't know what the constitutions are in the other states, but I know what the constitution is of Wyoming. And the good senator from Lander hit it right on the head. Now, if you want to put $30 million in strangers' hands with loose controls, as loose as in its discretion as they deem appropriate, boys, vote her up.
Freshman called to her. House Bill 106, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Meyer-S?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions? Townsend?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 20 ayes, 10 noes.
House Bill 106, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 106 have passed the Senate. House Bill 126. Reading clerk, please read the bill.
House Bill 128, sponsored by Representative Simpson, Health Insurance Interstate Purchase, and Act Relating to Health Insurance. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 128, third reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 4, line 6.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, the Senate will be relieved to know that after all the great weighty things we've dealt with today, this is pretty much pure technical correction. And Mr. President, the most important thing is on line 17 and following the amendment. In the second reading amendment, we had a typo that said commissioners, where we meant commissioner, meaning just our commissioner. That needs to be corrected, and this amendment does that. On line 14 and 15 of the amendment, there was a vagueness in what a such referred to, and we had to insert a little language to make it clear. On page 26, on lines 26 and 27 of the amendment, same thing happened. It was a little unclear, and we had to insert a little language. And, Mr. President, the rest of the amendment is pure desuchifying the proposed act so it'll conform with the way we normally draw acts here.
Discussion on the amendment. Question is, shall third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 128 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment has passed. Are you ready for the question? House Bill 128 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin? Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
S. Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
House Bill 128, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 128 has passed the Senate. Messages from the House.
March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives. Message number 269, Joint Conference Committee Report adopted. Mr. President, House Bill number 1, General Government Appropriations. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, 3 excused. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. March 3rd, 2010, from the House of Representatives, message number 266, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 18. The House conferees are Representative Brown, Chairman, Representative Lubnow and Stubson, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, whoops, do I have something else? Oh. Wait, do we need to do these? Okay, signing of enrolled acts. We are that order of business, signing of enrolled acts. House Enrolled Act number 46, original House Bill number 1.
House Enrolled Act 46, being original House Bill 1.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act 1, being original House Bill 1. House Enrolled Act number 46. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 6. House Enrolled Act number 6.
House Enrolled Act number 26, being original House Bill 27.
I'm having a hard time reading. I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 6, being original House Bill number 17. I have signed House Enrolled Act number 26, being original House Bill number 17. House Enrolled Act number 27.
House Enrolled Act number 27, being original House Bill 60.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 27, being original House Bill number 60. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 28.
House Enrolled Act number 28, being original House Bill 69.
House Enrolled Act, I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 28, being original House Bill number 69. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 29.
House Enrolled Act number 29, being original House Bill 70.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 29, being original House number 70, House Bill number 70. That's so signed. House Enrolled Act number 30.
House Enrolled Act number 30, being original House Bill 88.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 30, being original House Bill number 88. That's so signed. House Enrolled Act number 31.
House Enrolled Act number 31, being original House Bill 67.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 31, being original House Bill number 67. That's so signed. House Enrolled Act number 32.
House Enrolled Act number 32, being original House Bill 90.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 32, being original House number 90. Original House Bill number 90. That's so signed. Enrolled Act number 33. House Enrolled Act number
House 30. Enrolled Act number 33, being original House Bill 102.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 33, being original House Bill number 102. That's so signed. House Enrolled Act number 34.
House Enrolled Act number 34, being original House Bill 23.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 34, being original House Bill number 23. That's so signed. House Enrolled Act number 35.
House Enrolled Act number 35, being original House Bill 57.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 35, being original House Bill numbers 57. That's so signed. House Enrolled Act number 36.
House Enrolled Act number 36, being original House Bill 63.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 36, being original House Bill number 63. That's so signed. House Enrolled Act number 37.
House Enrolled Act number 37, being original House Bill 29.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 37, being original House Bill number 29. That's so signed. House Enrolled Act number 38.
House Enrolled Act number 38, being original House Bill 20.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 38, being original House number 20. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 39.
House Enrolled Act number 39, being original House Bill 19.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 39, being original House Bill number 19. That's so signed. House Enrolled Act number 40.
House Enrolled Act number 40, being original House Bill 34.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 40, being original House Bill number 34. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 41.
House Enrolled Act number 41, being original House Bill 59.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 41, being original House Bill number 59. so sign. House Enrolled Act number 42.
House Enrolled Act number 42 being original House Bill 75.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 42 being original House Bill number 75. That's so signed. House Enrolled Act number 43.
House Enrolled Act number 43 being original House Bill 77.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 43 being original House Bill number 77. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 44.
House Enrolled Act number 44 being original House Bill 80.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 44 being original House Bill number 80. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 45.
House Enrolled Act number 45 being original House Bill 132.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 45 being original House Bill number 132. That's so signed. House Joint Resolution number 2.
House Joint Resolution number 2 being original House Joint Resolution 2.
I'm about to sign House Joint Resolution number 2 being original House Joint Resolution number 2. That's so signed. That's all. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate be adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, March 4th.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, the Select Water Committee will have a meeting upon adjournment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, Chairman of Committee, your committee number 10, I've been asked to announce that there will be a DVD on health department programs shown tomorrow at 8 a.m. in room 302 by the Health Department.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, your Select Committee on Legislative Technology and Process will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room 204. That's the Appropriations Committee room. The purpose of the meeting is to discuss the legislative website update, laptop survey results, hotline survey results, and we'll probably be a little flexible and take up anything that comes else that comes in the door, Mr. President. And also, if I might announce, your conference committee on Senate File 18, the Limited Liability Company, will meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. in S18, the Regular Corporations Meeting Room, to take up conference.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, the State Archives facilities are offering a tour of their facilities, both their warehouse and the State Archives at the Barrett Building, actually for another 18 minutes tonight, but also from 4 to 6 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. You can just go over to the Barrett Building and or get directions to their warehouse. Actually, they're quite interesting, both of them.
You've heard the motion. The Senate shall stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow, Thursday, March 4th. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The Senate is adjourned.